I have to say I was a little amazed, I guess, that Pastor Fedena made errors on his overhead, on his PowerPoint. He just wasn't having a good day Sunday, I guess. If you weren't here, he forgot his suit pants at home. And then he found two errors on his overhead. And that'll haunt him. Yes, it does. But I remarked to somebody how, you know, he was really okay with it. He was, back when I was with him years ago, everything had to be just perfect. And he's still got a lot of that in him. Amen. Appreciate his being here Sunday. Always enjoy having him here. Isaiah 40, you're going to look at verse 29. Very familiar verses here. Isaiah 40. Many have claimed this is a life verse or give testimony to this in verse 31. But in 29 it says, He giveth power to the faint. That means those who are about to fall over, tired, quit. And to them that have no might, He increases strength. Have you ever been there? You ever been where you... Man, I just can't go anymore. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Let's pray. Father, thank you for these precious verses. Thank you for the promise of renewing of strength. We thank you that when we come to the place where we're empty, you rejuvenate, you restore, you renew. We praise you. We know that many days we come to that place, but you're always faithful. You said, they that wait upon the Lord, help us to be a people that will wait upon the Lord. Put our faith and trust in you. Look to you in our time of need. Speak to us again tonight. Show us truth tonight that would help us, that would build us, that would strengthen us. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to talk tonight about the strengthening ministry of the Holy Spirit. And we're dealing with the subject of the Holy Spirit and His involvement in our lives. The Holy Spirit and you, personally. Tonight we want to talk about strengthening. How many of you have ever run out of gas? Most of us, one point or another. You know, you run out of gas and you just can't go anymore. You've come to a standstill. You've come to a stop. Sometimes in our Christian life, we come to that place where we're what some have referred to as running on empty. At least trying to. And the fact is this. Life just has a way of repeatedly bringing us to that place of total spiritual, emotional, and even physical depletion. We're just empty. We just feel like we can't go another day, another step. We get exhausted. We get fatigued. We get weary. That is a dangerous place to be. You know, few things can bring us to the place of bad decisions like spiritual weariness can bring us to that place. I've known many people who have come to that place of being at the end of themselves, empty, tired, weary, fatigued, burnt out. And they've made bad decisions. When we get weary in life, it seems like nothing is positive, everything is negative. Have you been there? Do this. Yeah, I've been there, preacher. Yeah. One man, many of you are familiar with Vince Lombardi, said this, fatigue makes cowards of us all. Fatigue makes cowards of us all. This weariness has a very profound, if you will, effect, a very negative impact on our life and our family. Sometimes it's trials and burdens that put that weight on us that cause us to get weary. Sometimes it's just a hectic schedule. Sometimes it's the endless expectations of other people. Sometimes we get spiritually weary because of sin in our life. Or maybe our failure to walk with God and renew our strength. Now, it's easy to misunderstand this weariness. Maybe I should say to misdiagnosis or misdiagnosed spiritual weariness. I said it will affect your attitude and your outlook. It appears to accurately reflect a change of heart. Weariness can lead you to believe that you actually feel differently about life and that you need some radical change to be able to enjoy life again. I've counseled with people like that. Oh, I've just got to move. I've just got to change jobs. I've just got to do this or do that. I might enjoy life again. Sometimes it will make you question the most foundational and important things in your heart. You know, oftentimes when you hear stories about marital infidelity, or maybe family abuse, maybe financial decisions that are less than appropriate or good. Maybe it's we hear about somebody who has all of a sudden done a 180-degree spiritual turn. And we say, what in the world happened? Many times you'll find behind all that, this person has come to that place of being weary, worn out, worn down spiritually. Now, sometimes they I just need a good night's sleep. That's not going to do it. You see, it's not just physical weariness we're talking about. We're talking about a spiritual weariness. And that weariness requires what we might call a very deeper rest, a restoration, a reviving of the soul and the spirit. You see, when we come to that place, we don't need just a physical renewing, a physical rejuvenation. We need a spiritual renewal of strength of our heart. And it results in a refreshing of our courage and our confidence. One man said, Christian, be warned. That weariness can destroy you. No matter how excited you are right now about being a Christian, living with the Holy Spirit in your life, about the things of the Lord, sooner or later you're going to come to that time when your passion has waned spiritually. Many Christians have come to a place where they've lost any sense of motivation to really live for the Lord. To rely on His Holy Spirit. It happens to just about every Christian. The key to surviving that place of weariness and being empty, is to understand the strengthening ministry of God's Holy Spirit. See, believe it or not, God knew before we knew that we would face those kind of times. He knows everything about us. He knew that we would get worn down and wore out and frustrated and irritated and aggravated. He knew that to live the life He wants us to live would require more strength than we have. He knew if we're really going to try to live like He told us to live, it is going to be an overwhelming task. We might pretend that we have life under control, but He understands life is beyond our control. I don't know where you are today. Maybe you're in the middle of discouragement and emptiness. Maybe you're depleted and you're beginning to question those things you valued for so long. Listen, you're not alone. And what you're going through, if you're there, by the way, if you're not there, you'll have your time. Some of you may have come out of it. So, oh yeah, I've been there. But understand this. It's a season that we're going to go through. And we need the Holy Spirit's help when we get in it. There's no need for us to fall away from the faith. There's no need for us to begin making bad choices. There's no need for us to go into despair and sit in the corner and suck our spiritual thumb. Because God made a promise here in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31. To His people, He promised, if we'll wait on Him, He will renew our strength. You say, well, He says, wait. How long do I have to wait? Well, you need to understand the meaning of that word. It means to bind together in patience. We need to bind our lives to God and cast ourselves in complete dependence on Him. And wait patiently for Him to renew our strength. Because He promises He will. Hey, I'm in a bad season. Don't make bad decisions. Don't bail out. Don't quit. Go to Him and stay close to Him and bind yourself to Him and let Him renew your strength. The Holy Spirit is going to meet us at our lowest point, and He's going to lift us up, and He's going to strengthen us, and He's going to set us on solid ground once again. Our weariness, our being burned out, or being tired and frustrated is no surprise to God. He's already there and He's waiting to sustain us and strengthen us and help us. And it's all going to be through the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And so it's vital that we understand the ministry of the strengthening of the Holy Spirit. Big point number one, how does He strengthen us? Well, He leads us and guides us. He leads us and He guides us. Now, we've talked in some of our other lessons about how He teaches us and brings all things to our remembrance. John 14, verse 26. But the Comforter, remember, that's the Holy Spirit, and He even identifies Him, which is the Holy Ghost. By the way, Pastor Vedan's remarks about the Holy Spirit and the Holy Ghost in the King James Bible, very interesting. Whom the Father will send in My name, He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Romans 8:14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Let's think about that phrase, led by the Spirit of God. Why is it so important that we recognize and submit to the Holy Spirit's guidance? Jesus said we're to be led by Him. Why is it important to submit to Him? Well, number one, because without Him we are easily deceived. See, now, look up here for a minute. Most people are led and often misled by emotions, feelings, desires. That's why, if you watch television, they have those commercials. They're trying to get a hold of you, either in your feelings or your desires or your emotions. Have you ever seen some of these commercials where they want you to send in money to support kids over in some foreign land that are starving? And they show you pictures of some little kid that's so emaciated. I mean, his little bones are... And boy, your heart just goes out, doesn't it? Why do they do that? They're trying to get a hold of your feelings. How about when they try to sell you things? I like the phrase they always... And watch this. They always use that phrase. Well, I shouldn't say always. They love to use that phrase. You deserve. You deserve a new car. You deserve a better kitchen. You deserve this. You deserve... You don't deserve anything but hell. But they're trying to get a hold of you. See, because if they can get a hold of your emotions, if they can get a hold of your feelings, if they can get a hold of your desires, they can motivate you to make a decision. How many of you have ever gone to the timeshare sales pitch? And they show you all the pictures and they take you around and show you everything. What are they trying to do? Get a hold of you. So you'll put your name on the dotted line. Now listen. When the Holy Spirit comes into our lives, we now have a new internal leader. See, our emotions and our desires often deceive us. But when the Holy Spirit comes on the scene, emotions are meant to come to order and follow in step with God's leading. We're not supposed to follow our emotions. We're supposed to follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit. Listen, friend, your emotions won't get you into trouble. You know, when you get on board an airplane, if you look in the cockpit, there's all those instruments. Have you ever looked in there? Seen all those things? You want to... I often wonder, how many of those things do the pilots really know what they are? I often wonder, they probably know about 10 different things and the rest of it, who knows? It's just here. But you know, they have all these gauges, they have all these instruments to fly by. And you know, those instruments give them a true reading of how the aircraft is flying. Now, on a clear day, a pilot may not need some of those instruments. I've been up in airplanes where we were above the clouds. I could look down and see those clouds. You know, it made me almost want to jump out and bounce around on them. You ever seen that? I mean, just as far as you could see, it's like a big fluff of white cotton. Beautiful. But I'm up above all that. Man, it's clear sailing. And you think, what's the big deal about flying this airplane? The guy can see where he's going. There's, you know... But see, it's not always that way. I've also been in airplanes where all of a sudden you hit a cloud bank. And I'm looking out the window and you can't see out the window. And it registers with my little pea brain here. I can't see out the window. That means that guy up there driving this airplane can't see out the window either. And we're going 500 miles an hour. You see, there are some situations that render the pilot's instruments very vital to survival. See, pilots know they cannot trust their emotions or their feelings. They have to learn to trust that instrument. No matter what their head's telling them, they got to trust that instrument because it's giving them a true reading. Do you realize that in an airplane, for instance, in a dogfight, a pilot can be so disoriented that he can lose sight of whether he's flying up into the clouds or down into the ground? Same with soupy weather, foggy, cloudy weather where he can't see. If he can't see, he don't know if he's heading this way or this way or this. Those instruments tell him what's going on. And he has to learn to trust the instrument and follow the instrument. You know, it's not been an uncommon thing for planes to crash because the pilot decided, I'm going to trust my perception rather than my instruments. Proverbs 3:5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. Listen, friend, that's why we have the Holy Spirit. We're to look to Him for guidance. Not, hey, I've heard Christians tell me this. Well, my heart says. Ever read what Jeremiah said about the heart? How it's wicked and deceiving? Who can know it? Your heart can mislead you. Nod your head. Yeah. Just like a pilot can be misled, a Christian who is weary and depleted can be deceived by his perception of his current situation. And so, just like the pilot trusts the instruments, we trust the Holy Spirit. We're in a place of weakness. We really can't see straight. We don't know what's going on. Thank God we have the Holy Spirit that says, just follow me, everything will be okay. Without Him, we are easily deceived. With Him, we're safely led. We want Him to lead us. It means for Him to lead us, that as a Christian, we can be free from that aimlessness, that instability. When we get in that place, every aspect of our life, we can seek His guidance and He will direct us in. And see, when we look to Him for guidance and direction, our life becomes much more stable. It becomes much more truth-oriented, if you will. The storms are still going on all around us. That hasn't changed. But when we're following the leadership of the Holy Spirit, we are anchored, so to speak. And we're stable. Paul says we're not to be anxious for anything. He's saying, don't worry. Somebody said, hey, when you're following the Holy Spirit, anxiety can take a vacation. Stress can dissipate. God is in control. His Holy Spirit is navigating, setting the course for us. You ever hear about a navigator on a ship? What's his job? Well, he's to be aware of where the ship is at all times. And he's to be laying out a course of safety for that ship. Warning of the hazards that are around. He's essential to a safe voyage of that ship. Because he's the one who knows the way. The Holy Spirit's our navigator. He's essential to our journey. We need to learn to trust him. And follow him. Why? Because he leads and guides us. And if we'll follow him, he's going to lead us in a safe path. Then he assures us. You know, believe it or not, every one of us struggles with a certain amount of insecurity. For some people, it's greater than others. But everybody has that little bit of insecurity. It's just human nature for us to want to be accepted. It's just human nature for us to have the affirmation of those around us, that we would fit in and be socially acceptable. Nobody wants to wonder, where do I stand with others? We want to feel confident that we're accepted. Well, the Holy Spirit assures us in our heart that we are accepted in the Beloved. Our heart wants that idea of unconditional love and acceptance. Have you ever talked to somebody or known somebody that as a child they weren't well accepted by their parents? And it's had an effect on them? Every child, every human being desires that. And sometimes we don't get it in the human realm. But let me tell you something. The Holy Spirit assures us that we're accepted by Him. You know, it's very easy to love somebody when they're good, isn't it? I mean, when they're doing the right things and treating you right and all that kind of, it's very easy to love somebody. Kids, very easy to love a good kid. It's that one that tries you and tests you and... But you know, it's when you're loved in spite of yourself. In spite of your shortcomings. In spite of the fact that you know you. That you feel the deepest love that's possible. Unconditional love. Romans 5:8, but God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And then we have the assurance of unconditional love and we have the assurance of complete acceptance. He assures us in our heart of where we stand with God. He wants to remind us, hey, God's on our side. By the way, He reminds us in Romans 8:28 that all things work together for good. To them who love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. Romans 8:15 and 16. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Listen, He's inside of you, reassuring you, even in your worst moment, that God loves you and you're His child. By the way, we're not just His child, we're His precious child. He views you the way a faithful father sees his infant. Though you're not perfect, though you've done nothing to earn His love, though you will often fail Him, He embraces you and He accepts you as His own. Have you had children? Have you looked at them when they're just those little wee babies? And they can do nothing for you? And you understand, now I got to feed this kid and clothe this kid and raise this kid and he's going to disappoint me and he's going to give me fits at times that I'm going to love him anyway. He's my child. Some of you walk around and you say, hey, did I show you the picture of my son, my daughter? Just happened to have one. That child's accepted by you. Though He's not offered you anything. That's how it is with God. He's accepted us. You know, sometimes it's hard for believers to accept the fact that God really loves them and likes them. Do you realize if you're a believer, you're His delight? And His Holy Spirit lives in you to provide the steady, calm assurance that you're held in His hand. By the way, the next chapter in Isaiah says He upholds us with the right hand of His righteousness. Sometimes I've asked people if they were saved. Especially down south, you could get this every once in a while. Somebody said, well, I'm a holding on. Holding on to what? You're not holding on to anything. He's holding on to you. I can't get unsaved because God has me in His hand and He will not let go. He upholds me, Isaiah says, with the right hand of His righteousness. The great preacher of the late 19th century, early 20th century. I know I have at least one of his books, G. Campbell Morgan. And he happened to be reading God's Word to a shut-in widow. And he came to the verse that says over there in Matthew, "Lo, I am with you always." And he kind of paused right there. He looked at that widow and he said, "Isn't that a wonderful promise?" And that dear lady looked him in the eye and she said, "No, that's a wonderful reality." I guess he got preached to. The Holy Spirit's loving presence truly is wonderful, a reality for those who choose not to neglect Him. The Holy Spirit comforts. Think about this. Jesus' disciples spent 3 to 3.5 years with Him every day. Day in, day out. And they come to a day when Jesus sits them down. And He says, "It's expedient for me that I go away." He says, "I'm leaving you." Imagine, you're walking with Him, you've seen Him feed the 5,000, you've seen Him do all kinds of miracles, you've seen Him calm the storms, you've seen Him make it possible to pull money from the fish's mouth. Why, you even saw Him raise the dead. This is somebody you want to spend the rest of your life with. And all of a sudden one day He says, "Hey, guys, I got to leave you. I got to go away." Think what's going on in their mind. Think about, now they're only human, they're thinking, "Now, what am I going to do now?" All the confusion, all the wonders, all the questions, all the concern that they're going to have. He's going to leave us. This isn't what we thought it was going to be. Why, we thought He was going to set up His kingdom and we were going to be given positions of honor. Didn't He talk about that? And He was going to liberate the nation. We didn't know anything about a trial and a beating and a death sentence or His going to heaven. But then, in the middle of, He lays that truth on them. "I got to leave you." But He says this, John 14, verse 16. "And I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him, but ye know Him, for He dwelleth with you and shall be in you." John 16, verses 6 and 7, a continuation of His discourse. "But because I have said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It's expedient for you that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send Him unto you." He comforts. You see, because of the Comforter, we find release, if you will, from the emotion of fear. You see, it's a part of His ministry as the Comforter. When we're in those places of difficulty and turmoil in our soul, He comes to console us with hope and grace. He's the Comforter. It means the intercessor, the consoler, the advocate. He's on your side. He's there to breathe hope and comfort into us in our trials and our tribulation. He not only knows the journey, but also comforts and consoles us through the tough times during that journey. John 14:27, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. God knew life was going to be hard. Remember Jesus said in John 16, in the world ye shall have tribulation. He knew. Paul talked about if any man will live in Christ, he's going to suffer persecution. It's no secret of the Christian life. And let me say this. Everybody's life is tough in some way. You know, sometimes I look at people, they don't have a problem in the world. If you only knew. Some people's problems are more out in the open than others. But we all have our difficulties. We all have our tough times. We all have our sorrows, etc. In Philippians, Paul says, and the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And then we're released from sorrow. You know, most of us would do everything we could to avoid tragedy. And when it comes, a lot of people fall to pieces. To the unsaved, boy, oh boy, oh boy. For instance, the unsaved lose a loved one, they die. They have no hope. And many times the weeping and the wailing is overwhelming. But for those who know the Holy Spirit, sorrow is just for a little while. Because through the Holy Spirit, God comforts us and strengthens us in that time of sorrow. 1 Thessalonians 4:13, and when Paul says to them, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. You know, sometimes in life, there's really nobody that can understand what's going on in here. I remember one person over and over again said to me, nobody knows what I'm going through. Well, maybe that's true. Maybe it's not true. I don't know. But sometimes we think nobody can understand what's going on in here. And humanly speaking, that might be possible, but the Holy Spirit does. And He can bring comfort. He can bring strength. He can bring the renewing. He can bring the rejuvenation that we need in our heart. You know, as a pastor, I'm called upon to try to comfort people when somebody dies or when there's tragedy. And many times I tell people, I can't get where you need, but God can. Way, the hurt, the despair, the difficulties way down in our heart where no person can get. But God can through the power of His Holy Spirit. People can't fill this void. One man said, people can't fill this void. If they could, the world wouldn't be consumed with painkillers, emotional and spiritual. What's the point of alcohol, drugs, and illicit sexual relationships? They're painkillers. They take the raw sting off of the emptiness of life without God. Though painkillers don't fix anything, in fact, they make issues worse. They do provide temporary comfort and a momentary relief from the pains of the heart. Do you understand? That's why a lot of people drink liquor. That's why a lot of people take drugs. That's why a lot of people do illicit sex. That's why a lot of people get involved in these kind of things. They're looking for a little relief from that pain they have that they can't find any relief for. Because they don't know the reliever. The Holy Spirit releases us from this prison. He rescues us from this endless search for temporary comfort. And then He intercedes. In Romans it tells us. Romans 8. Likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Listen, there are times when we are so distraught, we are so taken. Maybe it's in physical infirmities, maybe it's just hurt of the heart, maybe it's we've been crushed by the affairs of life, but we've come to the place we can't even pray. And the Holy Spirit makes intercession for us. And then the Holy Spirit gives patience and hope. You know, when we get in despair and despondency and trial and tribulation, our first cry is, God, get me out of this. Isn't it? Lord, take this away. Change it. And we call that normal, I guess. But see, through the power of the Holy Spirit, we go beyond normal. He can lift us beyond that capacity that we can see life through a different lens. And that's where patience and hope come in. We abound in hope. And God wants us to abound in hope through the Holy Spirit. Romans 15, verse 13. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. See, when we're in this difficult place, the Holy Spirit can give us a different perspective. He's the one who allows us to see by faith the good hand of God, even in our trials and troubles. Romans 5, verse 2, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also. Did you get that? We glory in tribulations. You can't do that on your own. How many unsaved people will walk up to you and say, well, hallelujah, I'm broke. Well, glory, I just lost my job. That's not how they're going to come to you. They're going to come pooch mouth and downhearted and weeping and wailing. But as believers, we don't have to be that way. Okay, I lost my job. Maybe I'm not thrilled about it, but I know this. I don't have to worry because I have a God who's promised to take care of my needs. I can have a different perspective. I can look at life through a different lens because I have the Holy Spirit who enables me to do that. Tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad on our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Abounding hope. Enduring with patience. Here's a definition of patience. We're talking about a biblical definition. The divinely imparted ability to endure the trial. When the Bible talks about spiritual patience, it's talking about supernatural strength coming from the Holy Spirit, converging upon our circumstances, and giving us the ability to endure it and not quit. Colossians 1:11. Paul talks about being strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. Somebody said this. It's an unknown quote, but they said, faith cannot be developed in comfortable surroundings. Did you get that? Faith cannot be developed in comfortable surroundings. Tribulation worketh patience. People say, don't pray for patience. Because if you're going to get it, you're going to have to go through the tribulation. The trials and testings that bring you to that. By the way, that patience is enduring. It is going through it without quitting. Falling by the wayside. You know, If you've been through difficult times, many of us have, you know that God does something special in our lives through difficult times. Apart from God, the difficulties we face could be chalked up to fate, purposeless, pointless, meaningless. But see, when we belong to Him, every dynamic of life has eternal implications. Every trial has a hopeful outcome. Every hardship involves the hand of God. Trying to do a work in our life. And then the Holy Spirit renews our strength. You guys are runners, right? You ever get a second wind? From what I understand, that's very important to runners. To come to that place of the second wind. A second wind happens when an athlete is too weary to go on. They've come to that place where they said, I can't go another step. And all of a sudden, something happens that we call a second wind. And it means they get this sudden surge or boost of energy to press on. Medical experts believe the second wind is part physiological and part psychological. That second wind allows it, get this, that second wind will allow an athlete to perform beyond his expected capacity. To do more than he even thinks he can do. In a similar way, the Holy Spirit enables us to live beyond ourselves and live with a power that we don't even think we have. When you're weary, God promises that the Holy Spirit is going to renew you. Ephesians 3:16, that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. 2 Corinthians 4:16, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Listen, in the spiritual life, the Holy Spirit is our perpetual second wind, if you will. He's the one that enables us when we come to the end of ourselves to do more than we ever expected that we could do, to now be able to do supernaturally that which we never thought we could do. And it's Him. It's His power. We believe our strength is all gone. We come to that place, I can't go another step. We have been in that marathon of the Christian life. We've run long, we've run hard, and now we're weary. Now we don't think I can go on. And the Holy Spirit runs to our side, and He breathes into us that second wind. One day at a time, one leg of the journey at a time, you can be confident in the fact that the Holy Spirit will renew your strength. He will provide exactly what you need to go through today. Well, what about tomorrow? Tomorrow He will provide exactly what you need to go through tomorrow. And the next day, and the next day, and the next day, till you step out of this life and into glory. That's what He's here for. He's the comforter. Through everything we've mentioned in this lesson, the Holy Spirit gives strength. The strengthening ministry of the Holy Spirit. He guides in our life. He assures us of our standing with God. He comforts and consoles us in our sorrows. He intercedes for us. Even when we don't even know how to pray, He provides the patience and hope we need for the endurance and the perspective that we need. And He renews our strength. Here's the issue. Are you relying on Him? That's where we get into trouble. Let's go back to the airplane illustration. The pilot has to make a decision. Am I going to believe my instruments that supposedly are always right? Or am I going to believe my own thinking, which can be fallible? The wise one will say, well, I'll follow my instruments because they don't lie. And they'll lead me to safety. The wise Christian will say, am I going to use my own intelligence, my own thinking, my own emotions, my own feelings to make my decisions of life? Or am I going to follow the leadership of God's Holy Spirit, who will always lead me in the right path? Bow your heads for just a minute. I want to ask this question with your heads bowed and your eyes closed. How many believers here tonight, I'm the only one looking now, could honestly say, preacher, I really believe that I seek to follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit in my life. I really believe I do. Here's my hand. Hold it up high. God bless you. I wonder if there are some folks here tonight say, preacher, I have been guilty. I have not been following Him like I should. I've been leaning on my own understanding. He wants to minister to me, and I'm shutting Him out of my life. I'm making the decisions that I want, the decisions of my desires and my goals and my feelings and my emotions, instead of following His leadership. Preacher, I may well be headed for a big crash. I need to change it tonight. Here's my hand. Would you hold it up high? God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Anybody else? I'm going to have a word of prayer for you. Anybody else? Father, thank You for the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Thank You for the folks who have responded in honesty and said, I want to follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit. I want Him to control my life. I don't want to make decisions based on my emotions and my feelings and my will. I want to walk in the safety of the leadership of the Holy Spirit. Thank You for those who made that decision tonight. Help them. And Lord, might each one of us be careful in our lives that we don't shut out the Holy Spirit. That we open our lives to Him and yield ourselves to Him, like You would have us to. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.